Lord, give us ears to hear and understand the preaching and listen to your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, we're in Luke chapter 6 this evening. Luke chapter 6, look down at your Bible, verse 46. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And what I want to preach on this evening is the subject of standardizing before you optimize. Standardize before you optimize. And I'll explain what I mean in just a bit. Now, here we see that there's two groups of people that Luke chapter 6 is talking about. This is also reiterated in Matthew chapter 7. And obviously, the main application that we see in Matthew chapter 7 is this matter of salvation, right? Building your house upon the rock is referring to the fact that you are working after salvation. You basically had laid that foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and then you begin to build thereupon. But we can also apply that to ourselves, that we need to make sure that we have a strong foundation as a Christian and build thereupon as well. Now, what I want to talk about this evening is this fact that, you know, before you start improving yourself or improving an undertaking, some consistent custom needs to exist, right? You know, you can't refine a habit that hasn't been established. And one of the number one reasons why people, in my opinion, fail at what people often refer to as a New Year's resolution is because of this fact right here, okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with having a New Year's resolution. In fact, I think it's good to set some goals and say, you know what, 2021 is coming around. I want to improve myself. I want to be a better Christian. I want to improve my godly habits, or I want to establish some godly habits of some sort. I want to improve. I want to change what I am, you know, in 2020 and change it to something else in 2021. I want to become a better Christian. Nothing wrong with that. But the problem is this. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 14, verse 28. And tell me if this doesn't, you know, describe Christians, you know, at the beginning of the year or later on in the year, 2021. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." I mean, wouldn't you say that that describes not just Christians, but just people in general? At the beginning of a year, you know, man, we're going to do this. I'm going to create a new health plan. I'm going to read a bunch of Bible. I'm going to do a bunch of praying. I'm going to do a bunch of soul winning. I'm just going to have all these aspirations and goals. And then what happens at the end of 2021? You know, they were not able to finish. Right. And you know what? That can be discouraging for a lot of people because their intentions are right. You know, they have the right intentions. They want to change their life. They have these godly aspirations. They want to exercise themselves rather unto godliness. But unfortunately, they're seeking to optimize their goals rather than just standardize a habit. Okay? And I'll explain what I mean in just a bit. Now, what I mean by standardizing something, in other words, you want to establish something before you make it better. Right. You can't make something better that doesn't exist. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to read 20 chapters of the Bible a day, but you don't even read your Bible, period. You need to standardize a habit of reading the Bible before you optimize how many chapters you're going to read. Yeah, right. You know, well, man, I'm gonna get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray for an hour every single day starting 2021. Well, here's the problem. What if you don't even pray? Right. What if you don't even know how to get up in the morning? Then you got yourself a problem. You haven't standardized. You're trying to optimize something that doesn't even exist, right? Well, man, I know the gospel, and I'm going to be preaching the gospel in 2021. Yeah, but have you even standardized the time when you go with the church? Have you even standardized a basic level of just memorizing the Romans Road and things that are just basic? You see what I'm talking about? And look, often people who do this don't have ill intentions. It doesn't mean they're proud. They're just misguided, okay? And let me give you a couple reasons why people have a tendency to optimize before they standardize, okay? Number one is because they assume that because they set high goals, that automatically means they're going to fulfill them. Right. You know, they make a list of goals for 2021. I'm going to do all these things. It's just like done. That's half the battle right there. Wrong. You know, you write down all your goals, everything that you want to do, come 2021, and then at the end of 2021, you just did nothing. Right. Why? Because you fall into this trap of assumption. Yeah. Well, because I have goals, that means I'm automatically going to fulfill those goals. Wrong. You're trying to optimize something that doesn't exist, okay? What's another reason? Well, sometimes people just don't know how to grow. Now, to be honest, we understand that the Bible teaches us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We understand that that's a command of God. But you know what? Growth, people often think, well, you know what? If I just have some sort of goal, if I have some, these aspirations, if I have something on paper, it's just going to, by osmosis, become a part of who I am. You know, I'm going to be a soul winner. Okay, so now I'm going to become a soul winner because I said it. Doesn't necessarily work that way. Right. Trying to optimize something that doesn't exist. You know, you need to add to your faith virtue. And in fact, the beginning of that commandment, it says this, giving all what? Diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, etc. Okay? So why do people optimize before they standardize? Because they fall into this trap of assumption. They don't know how to grow. Or they're inspired to make a dramatic change, but then they bite off more than they can chew.
Right?
Right? Yeah. You ever been inspired? It's just like, man, I'm motivated. I'm inspired. I'm going to go run 5 miles today. And you don't run after that because you can't even get out of bed or something, you know? And look, there's nothing wrong with inspiration because inspiration is great. Motivation gets you going. Discipline keeps you growing, though. So it's important to be inspired. It's important to be motivated. But let's be honest. Let's just be real honest. We're not always motivated to do the things that we're supposed to do.
Right?
Right? We're not always motivated to read our Bibles. We don't always delight to open up the Word of God and just like, oh man, this is the greatest thing in the world. I can't wait to read my Bible. Sometimes we do it out of habit.
Right.
And if you have already standardized a custom of opening up the Bible and reading it, yeah, you may not have every single day a delight of God's Word, but it will come around once again.
Right.
Rather than the person who is motivated, they're inspired, they sit down to read 5 chapters and they don't even see the remainder of that book for another month. I'm going to read 20 chapters a day. This is great. And then they miss tomorrow. And then they miss the following day. And then they miss the following week. And then months have gone by. They haven't even touched the Word of God. They were inspired, but they didn't discipline themselves. They didn't standardize before they optimized. Okay.
Right.
So why do people do this? Well, because they fall into the trap of assumption. They don't know how to grow. They're inspired to make dramatic changes, but then they bite off more than they can chew. And then here's a big reason why people try to optimize before they standardize. Because they compare themselves with other people.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree? What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes it's just like, well, so-and-so reads a lot. Or so-and-so does this. So that means I have to set the bar at that level right there in order for me to attain that goal. So they compare themselves among themselves, and the Bible says that's not wise. Because everyone has a different level of spiritual growth, different level of spiritual maturity, different level of wisdom, different level of consistency. You know, you can't compare yourself to other people. And look, you think to yourself, well, you know, so-and-so does this much, so that means I should do that much as well. Wrong. What's going to happen is you're going to attempt to do the level of consistency or optimization as that individual you're comparing yourself to. You're going to get discouraged, and then you're just going to throw it all out. Like, well, I can't do it, you know. So this is one of the reasons why people optimize instead of standardize. You know, they try to optimize their goals rather than standardize a process. And this is a really basic sermon, but as we near the end of the year, I need to talk about this, okay? We need to talk about this because, look, you know, you should have some goals for your life in 2021. You should seek to be a better Christian in 2021, but you need to be realistic about it, okay? And I want to set you up for success. I want you to be able to succeed and reach those goals, but I want you to be realistic in how to set them, okay? And recognize, hey, you need to be able to fall in love with the process rather than the product. We all like the product, but it's important that you love the process more than the product. Because here's the thing. If you have a custom, a habit, a process of constantly growing, constantly reading the Bible, you will always hit your goal. You will always hit your goal. You're always going to grow. But if you only have a goal of reading your Bible once, or I'm just going to make sure that I read through the Bible this month, well, then you've already reached your goal. There's no longer a process after that. We need to make sure that we just love the process of growing. We love the process of learning. We love the process of improving ourselves. And guess what happens is we hit our goals every single time. We need to standardize before we optimize, okay? And there's nothing wrong with optimizing our goals, becoming better at what we do, but we just got to make sure that there's something that we can improve upon, okay? You know, if you haven't read your Bible through, let's say you do read your Bible through every single day, you read your Bible every day, but you have a goal of reading 20 chapters a day, for example. That's not a good goal to have to read 20 chapters right off the bat.
Right.
It's not a good goal. Let's say you struggle and you're just hit and miss with your Bible reading. Okay, let me just give you a good goal to have. I know this sounds super elementary, but this is good, okay? Why don't you just read one page? Not a chapter, a page a day. You're like, a page? I can do more than a page. Yeah, obviously you can. Good for you. You want a cookie? I'm glad you're able to read a page a day. The reason I'm saying read a page a day is because you're establishing a habit of going to your desk, going to your room, going to your favorite chair, wherever, and opening up and reading it.
Amen.
So after a while, your habits become muscle memory.
Yep.
Bible reading is not something that you have to make yourself do. It's just something that you do.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
So the more you just read one page of the Bible a day, eventually you're going to open up your Bible and you're just going to read more pages. Because you already have the habit of opening up the Bible, reading it through, and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to read through the book.
Amen.
And at that point, you can begin to optimize what you've already standardized. You understand?
That's good.
How about prayer life? Okay? You know, people want to improve their prayer life, and they make this huge list of all the things they want to pray for. They want to pray for an hour. Well, how about you just do this? And I know this is real practical. Why don't you just set a timer for 5 minutes? And say, at this time, I'm going to pray for 5 minutes and no more than 5 minutes.
Right.
I know this sounds crazy, but I promise you this will work. Okay? You set a time, you say, I don't want to say it because then she starts talking back. You say, hey, you know, you set a timer for 5 minutes. Begin praying, and as soon as those 5 minutes are done, you stop.
Yep.
Why? What if I want to pray more? Well, just stop at five. Because it's more important for you to standardize that habit than try to optimize it. Because you will get to a point where it's just like, well, this is just what I do. And since it's a core value that's already embedded in you because of repetition, what's going to happen is that after a month, you're going to be like, well, I'm just going to, you know, improve upon this. I'm going to optimize my prayer life because now I have embedded in me the habit of praying.
Amen.
You understand? How about this? Standardize church attendance before you optimize Bible knowledge. There's a lot of people out there who have a lot of Bible knowledge, but they can't seem to even get their rear ends in church.
Right.
It's a problem with that, folks. You know, we have all these online pastors out there who they someone should have ordained them already. You know, because they just know so much of the Bible, but they haven't come across Hebrews 10. You know, they need to standardize, have a standard of going to church,
right?
And maybe you're a person who's saying, you know, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, you're the Sunday night crowd, amen? That's great.
Amen.
You know, maybe you're saying, thinking to yourself, well, I need to start coming on Sunday nights or, you know, Thursday nights. Okay, well, just start by being consistent on Sunday mornings for like a month.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Or start being consistent just on Sundays, period.
Amen.
Standardize the habit of just going to church, and then you can optimize it and say, well, I'm going to start coming on Thursdays after that. Okay, and then you start growing from there. I know this is real basic, but in order for you to succeed as a Christian in 2021, you do have to standardize these things. Because here's the thing. You want your Christian life, the vast majority of your Christian life, to be as much muscle memory as possible.
Right?
Right? Like the things that you do is just what you do. It's just who you are.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You know, when I think about being new IFB, for example, I don't have to wake up and say, man, okay, I got to make sure I'm new IFB today. You know, I got to make sure that I just believe the right things, I say the right things. It's just who I am.
Amen.
Now, these wicked people, these false prophets like Manly Perry, they probably do stuff like that. Or they did stuff like that.
Yeah,
Where it's just like, all right, I got to make sure I don't slip up. I got to make sure I don't do this. I got to make sure that I say the right things. I got to make sure I act like I'm new IFB because it's not a standard to them. They're trying to deceive people, and therefore they have to put on this facade and make themselves seem as though they're new IFB, but they're really not. Whereas people who have these things as their core value, you know, they're not going to change if they're new IFB or not because it's just who they are.
Yeah.
Being new IFB is just who you are, who I am, who you are, okay? And so what I'm saying is the gist of the sermon is this: embed these values into your life, make them part of your life to the point where they become spiritual muscle memory. And then you can just optimize it quarterly, monthly, yearly, and just improve upon it. Get a good foundation. As long as that foundation is good, you can build thereupon. You understand? Hey, when it comes to singles who want to get married, amen? Standardize before you optimize. Well, I want to make sure that I get the godliest lady, the most fiery soul winner, this lady who knows how to cook and clean and can follow me, reverence me, call me Lord. But they haven't even standardized themselves.
Right.
Hey, Sarah called Abraham Lord. Yeah, but like, are you an Abraham though? Right? Standardized maturity. Standardized faithfulness. Standardized a good reputation. Okay, in order for you to get ready to get married. You know, ladies, hey, it's good to standardize being a housewife, right? Learning the tasks of a housewife, how to cook, how to clean, you know, learning these principles to be a blessing to your husband and to your household, how to rear children, okay? How about when it comes to future pastors? It's important that, you know, a lot of people try to optimize before they standardize. They want to become the experts on how to be a pastor, but they haven't even mastered the basics yet.
Right?
You guys ever seen that meme where it's like a kid, he's going up like 3 foot, or, you know, they got like a row of stairs or something like that, and he has his leg on the fifth stair. He wants to like skip all the stairs and just reach that. That's kind of how like a lot of young men are sometimes, where they just want to skip all the qualifications of a pastor and just optimize themselves as a pastor, even though they haven't standardized anything.
Right.
And look, if you don't believe me, that's why we have a bunch of unqualified pastors today.
Yeah, right.
Who are forcing themselves to become a pastor, but they never standardize that which God requires in order for someone to become ordained and become a pastor. You know, they need to standardize their marriage.
Right?
You know, get their wife to follow them.
Right.
To respect them. To be on the same page with them, okay? They haven't standardized their leadership. They don't know how to lead people. They haven't standardized servitude.
Amen.
You know, it's important that if you're going to be a great leader, you got to learn how to be a great servant.
Amen.
To be a blessing to the church, right? They have to standardize influence, or how about this, just credibility just in general. Because
right.
Here's the thing. Like, for example, if and when I ordain someone in our church, I'm placing my approval on this individual, but so is the rest of the church.
Right.
They have to have a good report of everyone in the church to say, well, this person, yeah, I know this person. They're a blessing. They are a hard worker. I know their wife follows them. They've been above reproach. You know, they have their ducks in order, so to speak. They have standardized what it is to be a pastor. Now let's optimize them and ordain them, kind of thing.
Amen.
You understand? So you get where I'm getting at here. Now, you're there in Luke chapter 6. I'm going to read to you a couple verses here. Titus chapter 2 verse 6 says this: young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, and all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Luke chapter 16 verse 10 says this: he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. The Bible tells us, go to Titus chapter 3. Hold your place there in Luke chapter 6. Go to Titus chapter 3, if you would. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. You know, we often think, how is it that this Christian who's been a Christian for, you know, has been serving the Lord for decades on end, 30 years, 40 years, how do they just like, they must be some just supernatural individual. You know, they must just have all this talent. They must be gifted. They just must have all these things in order. Really what it is they just had a custom. They were accustomed to living a godly life. They set customs in their life, which whereby they lived by, and they just stuck to it, okay? You know, you think about the Apostle Paul. What did the Apostle Paul, why was he placed into the ministry? Because God counted him what? Faithful. Obviously, he knew a lot of Bible. Obviously, you know, he was trained with the Old Testament. He knew what the Bible said. But more than that, he was just faithful. And I believe when it talks about that, it's actually referring to when he was sent out with Barnabas on the first missionary trip. He counted himself, or they counted him faithful when he went with Barnabas to Jerusalem to just handle the menial tasks, the day-to-day things. They saw that he was faithful. They saw that he was consistent. They saw that he had a custom of serving the Lord, and therefore God's hand was upon him. He put him into the ministry because he counted him faithful. I'm going to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience." The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Romans 1:11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." And look, this is the goal for us as Christians here, to be established, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You kind of wonder that. It's like, wait, hold on a second. How am I always abounding if I'm unmovable? Well, you're unmovable because you don't move from your customs, your habits, the godliness that you exercise, and therefore you can abound in other areas as well, okay? Most successful people are just those people who are of character, who have disciplines, who do things even when they don't feel like doing them.
Right.
Okay? Look at Titus 3:8. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Look at verse 14. "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." Fruitful. Over and over again, God emphasizes this matter of consistency, faithfulness, maintaining good works. A faithful man, the Bible says, shall abound with blessing. And so the sermon is simply this. Hey, as we're nearing 2021, you have 2 weeks. Nothing wrong with making a list of goals, but put a process to those goals and say, starting Monday morning, I'm just going to read one page of the Bible. I know that's not very glamorous. I know that doesn't seem very Elijah-like. You're not going to be like John the Baptist or whoever, you know, you admire in the Bible. But it's something.
Right.
And I promise you, you know, and look, if you just improve your spiritual habits by at least 1%, doesn't seem much in the very beginning, but it adds up over a year. So you just improve your habits by 1% a day, even if you do it a day, you will make drastic changes at the end of the year, okay? So I'm not saying don't have big goals. It's okay to have big goals, but be realistic about it and start small.
Amen.
Standardize something before you make the goal of optimizing something that doesn't even exist, okay? Now, a great illustration to this is back in Luke chapter 6. Let me read it to you in Luke 6, verse 49, it says, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, let me talk about churches, for example. A lot of churches out there, they want to optimize their ministry before they actually standardize their convictions.
Amen.
Number one, how about this? They want to optimize outreach before they even standardize salvation.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
They want to build their house, but they don't even have the right foundation.
Right.
They want to have all this outreach and all these programs, and we're going to do this, It's like, yeah, but do you even have any bona fide solid soul winners in your church? Period. Okay. They want to add these ministries and build bigger and greater barns, but their members are not even saved. No standard. They're not standardizing before they try to optimize. We want to make sure that we as a church, even in our young years as a church, that we are perfecting the basics, right? We want to make sure that when people come through our doors, that we're checking on their salvation, that people in our church, not just those who are preparing to be pastors, but just the regular layman, knows how to preach the gospel. Now look, obviously, some people slip through the cracks or they get confused or whatever, they get saved later on, and there might be people in our church that, you know, are not saved. We don't know that for sure, but as far as we know, on our part, we have tried to be thorough as possible in checking everyone's salvation. So before we ever optimize anything about the soul winning program, before we seek to have these great aspirations and goals to reach the world, we need to make sure we get the home base right. We don't want to be like those guys in Acts 19 where when the Apostle Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. What? You guys aren't even saved? What in the world? But you know what? I guarantee you, if you go to some of these independent fundamental Baptist churches that run 5,000, 6,000, you're running to people there. They're just like, yeah, it's by repenting of your sins. Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven. You know, I serve at this church. I got baptized at this church. It's like, well, hold on a second. Well, hold on a second here. What is salvation according to you? And look, it's out there. Yeah, right. Because of the fact that the pastor, the leaders, have placed a greater emphasis on optimizing their ministry rather than standardizing that which is most important, okay, which is salvation. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Our soul winning training is coming up in the beginning of the year. And I would expect to see a full house. Amen. When we do the training. Amen? Because we have new people in our church, and therefore new people, you know, we're going to have a sign-up sheet, sign up to that. You said, why do we have that? To standardize.
Amen. Yeah.
Soul winning. To standardize salvation. To teach you how to preach the gospel. So you can be thorough in your gospel presentation, so you can be effective and actually win people to Christ. Amen. And to establish and standardize in our church what it means to be a soul winner, what it means to preach the gospel, and standardize our plan to basically evangelize our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Amen. We don't want to just say, yeah, we're just going to do a bunch of soul winning. Well, hold on a second. Let's standardize something first. Let's get a habit of soul winning in Jerusalem. Let's get a habit of soul winning in Judea and Samaria. And let's get a habit of going all around the world thereafter. But let's be good stewards of Jerusalem first.
Right.
Now, obviously, 2020 has been weird with this whole coronavirus thing. And we were hindered a little bit from going unto the people in Belize. But you know what? Doors will open once again. And there's people here that we can still reach. There's people here that are still getting saved.
Right.
And we want to make sure that we standardize that as much as possible. Look at Revelation 2, verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. We would say this is a great church.
Yeah.
These are workers. Bus ministry, and you know, all these other ministries. I mean, they're laboring. They're doing so much, right? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. That first love being what? Soul winning. So yeah, they were working hard. They were laboring in their ministry. They were doing all these works, and God recognized them for their labor and their effort. But he said this, I have something against you, though, because you're doing all this work. You're optimizing, but you're not standardizing. You've left your what? First love. Remember, therefore, for whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. And this is why we make such a big deal about soul winning here.
Yeah.
It's the most important ministry there is. Not the only ministry, but it is the most important one.
Right.
To get people saved. And we want to standardize it to the point that we want to make sure that everyone here, as long as they allow us to, are trained to be a soul winner.
Right.
We want to have a culture where basically we know that, hey, when someone new comes, within the next 3 months, they're going to be a bona fide soul winner if that's what they want to do.
Amen.
Okay. Not only that, but sometimes churches, they'll try to optimize discipleship, but they haven't even standardized baptism.
Right?
Right? They have all these fancy schmancy things going on in their church where they have, you know, Paul Chapel and his continue book, and they have all these things, but they don't even baptize people.
Right.
And churches do this all the time, folks.
Yep.
You know, the church plant that I was a part of that I helped start, the guy who was put in charge of that just completely blew that thing. Just destroyed it. Okay. I remember that church used to run like 300 people, which is quite a bit.
Yeah.
300 people is a lot of people, right? Yeah. And this is without YouTube.
Right.
This is just, you know, soul winning, following up on people, discipling them. 300 people of the people that were locally from that church in that area. A lot of people. Today, that church probably runs like 50 people. Now, look, here's the thing. 50 people is not bad when you're starting out. But when you've been around for like 11 years,
yeah.
And when you originally ran 300,
yeah.
And now you're running 50 or 40 or whatever, that doesn't say a lot. In fact, you know what that shows me? You try to optimize before you standardize.
Right.
Right? Try to optimize your ministry before you standardize. And in fact, I specifically remember being a part of that ministry, and the music ministry was just struggling, okay? You know, we didn't have, like, I remember the guy, I was in the Spanish ministry at that time. I was preaching in Spanish and Espanol, and he would tell me, because he was in charge of, like, the entire church plant, and he would say, I want you to be in the English, I want you to lead the English choir, though. You need to preach and head that Spanish ministry up, but we need to have a choir in our church. And look, let me just say this, is I'm not against choirs. I'm just against having them in our church.
Amen.
I'm not going to say they're sinful because they're not.
Amen.
You know, I enjoyed the choir when I was back in my home church, not the church plant, but my home church. You know, I was part of that, and I loved it. I would never do it in our church just because, you know, there's a lot of philosophy that goes behind that. Ask me after church. That's not what the sermon's about. I don't think it's sinful to have, you know. I know a lot of some of our friends have that, but so he told me, he said this, he's like, you need to have the church choir. And I told him, I was like, but we don't even have a piano player. He's like, you need to make it happen. I'm like, I don't know how to play the piano. What do you mean? So he wanted to optimize the music ministry, have a choir, no piano player. Or when we did have a piano player, the piano player could only play like basic songs like Nothing But the Blood, At Calvary. I mean, don't put a choir book in front of that individual. They'll fall over dead.
Yep.
But here's the thing. Today, they still struggle with that. 11 years have gone by. And in fact, someone who came from that church, they came here and they said this. They're like, they were still asking their home church, the one that sent them out, who they're independent from already, who they no longer have an association with, supposedly, they're still asking them to send piano players to play for their service. 10 years later, folks, he could have learned the piano in 10 years or something.
Right?
Right? And he always tells me, man, we need to pray that God just sends a piano player. And it's just like, I get that, but you know, if you're praying that that's not happening, you probably should like train someone in your church. That's why, look, if Eric ever dies or something like that, God forbid. I'm kidding. I'm just joking. Hey, Eric does a great job.
Amen.
He does an awesome job. He's doing an awesome job with everything, with all the music. But here's the thing. Let's say, God forbid, something happened to Eric. My wife can play. Why? Because I've already standardized that. Before we even started a church. I got her a piano. It's at the house. You need to play in case we ever need a piano player. Because I don't want to be a part of a church service where there's no piano player. I know in our church there will always be a piano player. Always. Because this is how it works, folks. Eric's not here. Glenn, you're playing. Glenn can't play, or he can only play a few songs, then him and John have to switch off.
Yep.
John can play a little bit. And if for some reason none of these guys are, you know, they're just, they got coronavirus or something, you know, they don't come to church, my wife can play, and I'll just watch the kids, and Brucey and Kyla can just stand right there next to their mom as she plays the piano. We'll make it happen. Because we've already standardized a plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And that now we're adding more letters because I've heard some other people in this church can play a piano too, amen. And they're gonna, you know, they're gonna be getting involved, hopefully. Just throw that out there real quick. But look, folks, I would not have an orchestra if we didn't have a piano player. Right? It was just like, John, put an orchestra together. It's like, well, we don't even have a piano player, though. I don't care. Make it happen. It's unrealistic. It's foolish. It's what happens when people try to optimize before they standardize. Right. And let me just say this. The reason that guy wanted to do it, because his favorite pastor, Mr. Burns, over at North Valley Baptist Church, he had two piano players and all this music and all these things. It's just like, fooey with that. Get someone who can play five songs and they'll sing it every single service. Folks, when I was in the Spanish ministry, they didn't have music. And I said, I'm not going to do that. My wife can play the piano. She can play seven songs. And we're going to sing all those songs. We'll rotate them every single service. You know? Because we were ready. There's a prepared place for prepared people. But here's the thing. He fell into that comparison flaw where he's comparing himself to some church, North Valley Baptist Church, where they got all these queer piano players over there.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Zachary, little faggot, who's a pedophile.
Yeah.
You know, and he wants to be just like that. Right? And so he has these unrealistic expectations that he places on the people in his church. And look where he's at now. You know? It's nonsense. We need to make sure we just make the best with what we have now and then improve upon it.
Amen.
Okay? You say, well, how are we going to improve the orchestra? By adding more instruments.
Amen.
As the time goes. You know, and we, Brother Eric and I and Brother John and I, we're talking about this. It's like, well, we don't want to just throw anybody into the mix. We want to make sure that we standardize. We have a standard of music that we want, right?
Amen.
And I think that's a great philosophy to have. To standardize something rather than try to optimize it. Because once we have a core group who plays well, they know what they're doing, then we can begin to improve upon that. Okay?
Good.
Spent a lot of time on that, but that was necessary. How about this? People who try to optimize their preaching with all the bells and whistles, you know, the screens and the visuals and the smoke and all this lasers, but they haven't standardized their doctrine.
Amen.
Their sermon is lame.
Amen.
They're not preaching anything deep. They're not teaching the Word of God. They're trying to optimize their visuals. They're trying to optimize their lasers, smoke and mirrors, but they have not standardized doctrine. They have need that someone teach them again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God.
Yeah.
They have need. They are becoming such as some of those who have need of milk and not of strong meat.
Amen.
Okay. So what is the basic sermon tonight? The basic sermon is simply this. Hey, we're rolling into 2021. I want to encourage you that this week, you go sit down and you write down those goals. Have some goals. Don't let 2021 just happen to you.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We'll see how much Bible I get in. We'll see what you know, just kind of go with the flow. You happen to life. You happen to 2021, amen? Have some goals, write those down, okay? You write down a list of goals that you have, be realistic about it, and then go through that list and say, how many of these am I actually doing now?
Right?
Right? You look at your Bible reading. My Bible, yeah, I read my Bible every single day. Yeah. Okay, then what's your goal? And by the way, if you've already standardized that, okay, begin optimizing.
Amen.
Right. Absolutely, why not? If you're already accustomed to reading 10 chapters of the Bible a day, awesome. Then you know what? Optimize it to 15. Okay? Now, if you've only standardized yourself to read a proverb a day, okay, then standardize it to reading five chapters, read a proverb and five chapters of the New Testament, okay? And you don't have to use these examples. I'm just giving you an example of what you should do, what you could do, okay?
Amen.
But write a list of goals, of things that you want to accomplish. Be realistic about them. Ask yourself, how many of these am I actually doing? And if it's none of them, okay, doesn't mean you can't do them, but you need to standardize by 1% each of those, the process of each of those goals, okay? Like, where can I start? Man, I want to be this great soul winner, but I haven't even, like, I just go out and I'm just a silent partner. Okay, then get with your team leader and say, hey, can I work on my introduction, this 1%? So this coming Saturday, I'm going to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and this coming, or next Sunday, I'm going to have a bona fide introduction ready. Where I introduce me, I introduce my church, I introduce my partner, and then I leave it off with him. And then you increase it by 1% the following week or something.
Amen.
Okay? But you have to start somewhere. Don't be sloppy about your spiritual growth.
Amen.
Don't be sloppy about it. Don't be careless about it. Hey, this is important.
Right.
Your personal growth is important. Amen?
Amen.
I think it's important. I think my spiritual growth is important. It's the most important thing to me. You know, is my spiritual growth. Because in order for me to be an effective husband, an effective father, an effective pastor, I need to keep growing.
Amen.
And if I don't put an emphasis on my personal growth, then I start dying spiritually. You know, the church will suffer because of it. My family will suffer because of it. This is important, folks. Hey, scripture memory. Oh, man, I'm going to memorize the whole New Testament this year. How much have you memorized already? The Romans Road. Okay, I get what you're saying, but you need to standardize something else first.
Right.
It's a good goal. I'm not saying it's bad. It's great. But why don't you standardize memorizing a chapter, or how about this? Just start with one verse every other day. I know this doesn't seem like a lot, but you know what? To some people, it's a lot.
Right.
Hey, by the way, a chapter a week is a lot.
Right.
To some, it's not. But who cares what to some it is? Don't compare yourself with other people. If one verse a day or one verse a week is all you can handle, it's better for you to get up in the morning and say at 7:30 every single morning, without fail, I always review my verse and I memorize it, and that's what I do. That's who I am. That's just what I do. You know, I tell my wife, you know, my mornings are for my non-negotiables. What do I mean by that? Nothing wavers when it comes to this. Don't bother me during this time. I'm not taking phone calls during this time. The things that I do here, my non-negotiables, is basically something that I do every single day without fail. Doesn't matter what happens or where I'm at. It's a non-negotiable. And each of you need non-negotiables.
Amen.
But the way we establish non-negotiables, the important things, is by making a custom out of it every single day. I promise you. Believe me, okay, that if you just implement this one thing, and if you just want to do it for one goal, then just do it for one. I'm just telling you, if you can just do this one thing and just standardize that specific process, that specific habit, that specific custom, the possibilities are endless of how successful you can become. Because that's our goal, is it not? To be prosperous and successful in our Christian life. To get more Bible in, get more knowledge in, get more scripture in, learn a language, you know, lose weight or whatever, you know, whatever it may be. Whatever goals you may have, those are great. But look, you know, I'm just saying, because I know it sucks when you reach the end of the year and you're just like, man, I didn't accomplish anything. You look at your goals list and it's like, well, maybe 2021. But here's the thing. How many know what the definition of insanity is? Is doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results.
Right. Yep.
So if you're trying to do the same thing the same way in 2020 the way you did in 2021 as you did in 2020, you're going to get the same results. So you know what that means? It's time for a change.
Right.
Amen. A 1% change.
Right.
Just do a 1% change. And if you don't believe me when it comes to this 1%, just think about this. When an airplane takes off, if it moves 1 degree to the left, no one feels it. But once it, you know, flies for like a couple hours, you will see a major difference. It will not reach its original destination, right? If you just move just a little bit, that little percentage of degree of change will take you somewhere completely different. In the long run, though.
Yeah.
In the long run. And that's really what you need to think about, the long run.
Good.
What about now? I want to see change now. No, now you just need to cultivate a love for the process.
Good.
Just cultivate a love of being able to wake up in the morning and read your Bible. This is great. I'm reading my Bible today. This is great. This is what I do. I got another day down where I read my Bible, one page. I prayed for 5 minutes. I memorized one verse. I got that done.
Amen.
And then a month later, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to increase it a little bit. I think I'm going to increase it because I've already had the habit. And then you look back at in December and you say, wow, I was actually able to consistently do this for an entire year and I accomplished actually more because it compounds. It compounds. So just want to leave you with that, okay? I know it's not a super deep doctrine sermon, but I think this is, I typically preach something like this at the end of every year just because, you know, we need to keep growing.
Yeah.
We need to keep abounding and increasing, but the only way that can happen is if we change. Amen? Let's bow our heads in our word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, thank you for the spirit of truth that dwells within us. And enables us, Lord. He gives us the power to do that which is supernatural, but also even the basics of life. Please help us to increase and to become better, to abound in our Bible reading, in our prayer life, in our scripture reading, scripture memorization, in our soul winning, in our home, Lord. Help us to do all that we can to become better servants for you. I'm thankful that you would want to use us, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to be equipped vessels for you to use so we can go further in this life and reach more people for Christ. We love you so much and we thank you.